Father, we just thank you today for your presence. Father, we thank you. There's no one like you. Lord, there's no one like you. There's no one compares to you. Father, we want to declare today that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That you are Lord of my life. That you are Lord. That you are Lord. And Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Isn't God good? Amen. Amen. Wow, it is bright. Wow. It's like there's the, it's like the glory of the Lord in the place. Amazing. Well, guys, it is so good to be with you. Those joining us online as well, welcome. It is such a joy and such a an honor to be with you guys here, Rivers, and I just absolutely love Pastor Rory, amazing Dave, and the team here. I just love what the Lord is doing. Friends, I want to encourage you that it's incredible in these days. There's a difference between impact and influence. You see, if we want to impact, we think of big things. If you want to influence, you just think of what the Lord is wanting to do in and through you. And you see, to have influence, you don't need size. And this is a house of influence. And as Rory said, you don't realize what the Lord is doing in and through you. And where your prayers, your providence, whatever the Lord is doing, is taking things in this nation and nations beyond. I want to encourage you that this is a house that the Lord is established. This is a house that the Lord has raised up. It's not just a church, it's a house. And I love it that in my Father's house are many mansions. You see, it's incredible. It doesn't say in my Father's mansion are many houses. This is the kingdom of God, friends, that it's flipped up. It's upside down, amen? In my Father's house are many mansions. And it's incredible that in the small is the significant. It's not in the big that there's the significant. In my Father's house are many mansions. I want to say to you today, friends, that in this house are many mansions. You see, this is the kingdom that we are not a people who count the apples on the tree. We count how many trees are in the apples. That's kingdom. You don't count how many apples on the tree. That's empire. How much have I got? What have I got? No, it's not what I've got, it's who I've got. And it's not how many apples are on the tree, it's how many trees are in the apples. Because that's kingdom. That's when you begin to live in a place where God takes what you think is insignificant and begins to feed nations. I'm talking about the boy in the Gospel of John. 2 fish and 5 loaves. God took what man would say was insignificant and fed thousands. And this is what the kingdom of God is all about. When we can lay hold of a perspective that isn't of this earth, when we can hold of a perspective that's of heaven, I really believe the Lord is just, he just wants us to have a perspective upgrade. He wants us to be a people that see as he sees, knows what he knows, prays how he prays. And this is something that I'm convicted by and convinced by, friends, in these days, that God is looking for a people that have the perspective of heaven and are not shaped by the perspective of earth. We realize that God has given us truth. God has given us a word, friends, and we can stand on that word. And I want to encourage us right off the beginning is the Lord is looking for those that can build altars, not platforms. Can we be a people who build altars, not platforms? This is what the Lord said to me months ago. He said, Gary, fame falls on platforms, but fire falls on altars. And he began to challenge me of not just in my church life or my ministry life, but can I start establishing altars in my world, my altars in my life that allows the fire of God to fall, that allows the presence of God to be seen and the power of God to make a difference? Am I speaking to somebody? These are the altars the Lord wants us to establish, because I realize, and I love the English language, if I want to alter society, I need to build an altar. If we want to see altering in businesses, You see, I'm not just talking about hems of the garment here. God just doesn't want altering to happen to our clothes, amen? He wants change and significant change to happen in our society, happen in our nation. And we're only going to do it through building altars that actually connect heaven with earth. And this is something that I'm so passionate about, is Lord, I want to build an altar of generosity in my life. I want to build an altar of prayer in my life. I want to build an altar of sharing your word. I want to build an altar of encouragement. What are the altars the Lord wants you? Because there's no limit. Amen? There was no limit to the Israelites. They could build as many altars as they want, because every time God did something, they built an altar. I question whether in the Old Testament that they built an altar because God did, but we can build an altar because God has done. Amen? And it's this altar of faith that God, I'm building an altar even before I see anything. I'm building an altar even before you do anything. I'm going to build an altar. Because I'm not basing my life on facts. I'm building my life on faith. And faith says thank you even before you ask the question. Faith says thank you before you even get the answer. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody? You see, God is looking for a people who will work with him, not for him. You see, I want us to be vocal, not vocational. Amen? I want us to be vocal, not vocational. I want us to be a people that lay hold of the plans of heaven and outlive them on earth. And it just isn't on a Sunday. It's 24/7, 7 days a week. And you see, I want us to be people who work with him, not against him. You see, I think when we try and work for God, we work against God. Because all of a sudden, we try to be the people who think we can do it when God's already done it. Yeah, am I speaking to somebody? And so I want us to work with Jesus, not against him. And so I love this in Scripture. Guys, I love things connecting in Scripture. And this is before I get into my main message, and you'll see how the Lord so beautifully weaves and orchestrates things. But, you know, we love the verse, Philippians 4:13, amen? We can do all things through Christ, who what? Strengthens us, all things. Not just some things, we can do all things. And so what's the key for us doing all things through Christ? And I love how God does this in Scripture. Well, Acts 4:13 says, they had seen that they had been with Jesus. They were marked. There was something on their life, and they could see that they'd been with Jesus. For us to do all things through him, we've got to be ones who've been with him. You see, when I was pastoring, there were certain women that I would avoid in church. And I would avoid them because they were like baptized in Chanel. And I tell you, I'd go to church, and sometimes, particularly when Sarah was pregnant with Tobias and there was some morning sickness, she would stay at home. And you know, I'd come home after, and thank God I was a pastor and nothing else. But I'd come home after church, and Sarah's like, I can tell who you've been hugging. And she'd start naming the people in church. I'm like, I know, I'm trying to avoid these people. But she had known that I had been with them people. Why? Because I smelled like them. There was a fragrance on me. And I love what Corinthians says, that he is diffused through us the fragrance of Christ, which is what? Triumph. Do you smell like triumph? Do you smell like an overcomer, or do you smell like someone who's been overcome? When people smell you, when people come near you, they say, whoa, you've been with Jesus. I can smell it. Are we contaminated, or are we courageous? Are we ones who carry about in us the fragrance of Christ? And again, guys, this is what it is about, building altars in our life. When you build an altar, I tell you, you begin to get absolutely covered in it. I love cooking barbecue. I love barbecuing, grilling, whatever word you want to use. I think Weber is of the Lord, amen? I just thank God for Weber, because I think it's supernatural, because I'm nothing special, but whatever comes out of that, friends, it's like I'm Gordon Ramsay or something. And my wife refuses to eat steak out, because she goes, why would I eat steak out when you cook such good steak? I said, love, it's not me, it's the Weber. And it's like that false humility when it's like, you know, guys, you're such incredible. No, it's not me, it's the Lord. Of course, it's me working with the Weber, amen? And I'll tell you, I love it, but man, do I smell. I tell you, I have to shower every time because I don't care. It's a burnt offering before the Lord, amen? I don't care whether it's burnt or blessed. I love grilling, but there is a fragrance on me that stays. And the only way I can get rid of it is by taking a shower. Friends, I think a lot of times that we get absolutely consumed by the faith of God, but we go out in this world and we get washed by fear. It gets washed off by circumstance. It gets washed off by situations and circumstances. Friend, I wanted to say, stink with the supernatural. Amen? We have to stink with the supernatural because what the Lord is wanting to do in our world. This is what it looks like for being people who establish an altar. One of my favorite altars in Scripture, because this is what happened to Jacob. I love it. That Jacob was there. And you know, he didn't even know God was there. And all of a sudden, the Lord woke him and he saw this ladder. How many people want to see a ladder in their world? You see, all of a sudden there was this ladder. Why did Jacob have a ladder? You see, Jacob's ladder, I believe God will always bring a restitution and a restoration for anything man has tried to do. And we see this in Genesis. And in Genesis 28, we see Jacob establish a ladder. I believe that place where this ladder was established, this altar of God, what did he call the place? Why? Because it was the house of God. God built something. And all of a sudden, there was this ladder comes down. I'm telling you, I'm ready for the ladder of God in my life. Amen? But the reason that God established a ladder to come to man is because he made up for the way that man tried to get to him in Genesis 11. You see, man tries to build up when God tries to come down. And the moment that we try and build empire when God is trying to build kingdom is all of a sudden it opposes what he's wanting to do in the earth. And the reason that God brought the ladder is because man tried to build a tower. How many people realize God's mission in life has always been to get to us, not us get to him? The moment that we try and establish things in our world that build us to God, friends, that is empire. The moment that we make room for God to come to us, that's called kingdom. Am I speaking to somebody? And these are the things that God wants us to establish in our world. And I'll tell you something, friend. Justice is an altar. God wants us to have a justice. God wants us to be people of justice. But you know what I've recognized is when justice rises up in me, if I don't give that over to the Lord as an offering, all of a sudden it becomes injustice in me and unrighteousness. When I see something unjust, there is a justice that rises in me. But guess what? I get to give that to the Lord. God says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I shall repay. But the moment that I try and work justice in my own strength, all of a sudden it becomes, I move in injustice. I move in unrighteousness. Am I speaking to somebody? Friends, I want to encourage us to be people of altars. People who establish the very framework in our world, the very framework in our life. And I'm not just talking about Sunday. I'm talking about every day. What are the things that we can build into our world that bring the presence of God? What are the things that we can establish? And friends, I want to encourage us today. This is something the Lord's been challenging me so much on in these last couple of days. Let's take a drink. Today's commercial break has been brought to you by Pure Australian Spring Water Mini for that refreshing kind of meeting. I'm in Queensland. I thought it would be 4X or something. No, I'm joking. That's the other church. Sorry. That's the other church. That's 2 weeks ago. But what are them places? And this is something the Lord's been challenging me. He said, Gary, don't change your theology to match your wins, and don't change your theology to match your sins. Let me try it this side. Stop changing your theology. See, we change our belief system when we think we're failing, and we change our belief system when we think we're winning. But his truth is consistent. The only thing changes is me. But what changes me is his truth. The sad thing is we try to change the truth to fit our sins or to fit our wins. We shift our theology. When we don't feel we're praying enough, all of a sudden, Psalm 24, I need clean hands, I need a pure heart, I can't raise. Lord, all of a sudden we get into works. All of a sudden now we think we have to do something to go up the hill. You see, it doesn't say who can ascend the hill. It's not about your ability. It says who may ascend the hill. It's about your worth. And the last time I read, he made us worthy. Am I speaking to somebody? It's not by the works of man, but the blood of Christ we enter in. But what happens is when we feel like we're struggling or we're failing or we're not pressing in enough or we're not doing enough, all of a sudden we change our theology and Psalm 24 becomes about our works instead of his worth. But then all of a sudden then when we're winning, now it's about our worth and not our works. So what do? We slack off. Your behavior is an echo of your belief. And when you believe that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly, all of a sudden we live in that place of righteousness. But when we believe that we have failed and we haven't done enough, all of a sudden we get into works. I think our belief and our faith is like yo-yos, guys. And God is like, what the heck are you doing? Because we adjust. God hasn't called us to be chameleons. He's called us to be sanctified. He's called us to be redeemed. He's called us to be those who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Am I speaking to somebody? Do we see that this morning? We shift away. All of a sudden, if our team wins at the AFL, all of a sudden it's like, oh, the Lord is the Lord. God is good. If they lose, it's like, oh, I've got to intercede more. I must have done something. No, no, friends. The saddest thing is you think that you can do something to change the course of history 2,000 years ago. That you think whatever you've done is going to change the power of the cross. Friends, you're not big enough. Because I am so encouraged by the faithfulness of the Lord in each of our lives. And friends, none of us would be here if it wasn't for him. Am I speaking to somebody? We adjust our thinking. We change the way we approach. And friends, this is something that God is wanting us to come into. It's realizing that it's not about our works, that we can't add to or take away from him. We can't add to or take away from what he's done. But what we can do is we can undergird. We can be participants. We can be partakers of a divine inheritance. I love the letters DNA because divine nature activated in our world causes things to happen. And this is the perspective God wants us to have, friends, is a perspective that isn't living in a yo-yo Christianity. I'm winning, I'm losing, I'm overcoming, I'm overcome. But we live in a world that recognizes that we are agents of change, that God has called us to be people, that when we step into places, options change. Because you live in the street you live, options have already changed. Friends, this is not a megalomaniac, narcissistic thinking. This isn't thinking too highly than you ought. This is a reality and a faith that God has given us that we are carrying an answer to a question this world has already been asking. And each and every one of you is a divine representation of the goodness, the grace, and the glory of God. And I get excited when all of a sudden the Father invites us to be participants, to be partakers, and working with him in community transformation, in establishing a nation. Can a nation be established in a day? Just look north, it's about to. Am I speaking to somebody? You know, all these scriptures are coming alive. But I feel, friends, in these days, the greatest, and I'm about to get my message, I feel the greatest invitation today is for us to get back to the basics, for us to get back to them places, the foundational things of Christ, because I feel like we've been too much on the chandeliers of man, and God wants us in the foundations of God. Am I speaking to somebody? That we get back to basics, that we get back to them places. And friends, I feel like today, and this is something I continually see, is the Lord is inviting us, I believe, to a season of intercession. I believe not just a season, a lifestyle of intercession. And I was like blown away. All of a sudden, Andrew gets up, starts talking about intercession. Rory starts talking, and I'm like, this is exactly what the Lord's asked me to speak on this morning. And friends, for those that know me, I don't lead a school of intercession. I don't lead a school of prayer. I lead a school of prophets, amen? So what the heck you doing talking about prayer and intercession? Because it's what's on the Lord's heart right now. And if we can equip and empower people in the ministry and also as well what intercession is, then friends, I believe we can see an army raised up that doesn't just stand in the gap, but begins to see a perspective that no one else has seen and begin to see societal reformation and see restoration happen like we've never seen before. Am I speaking to somebody? Because this is what happens. We have these, my grandmother called them spits and farts, amen? We have these spits and farts in church. Someone's spitting and someone's farting. But we have these spits and farts of, oh, we're going to do prayer. And guys, we go a few weeks, and all of a sudden we are like, well, we're not seeing anything. Maybe the seasons change. Maybe God's onto something else. And these waves and these fads come through and, oh, let's jump on that. We'll do that now. Or we'll do that. I want to tell you right now, God wants to build culture in you, not popularity. God wants to build culture in you, not popularity. It's not about what he's doing. It's about what the Lord's doing in your life. Amen? And so we have these seasons. And do you know why we have seasons? Is because we have attuned our thinking to fruit and God speaks in seeds. And so when all of a sudden we step out and do something, we expect instant fruit. It's called the McDonald's factor, amen? We want it fast. We want it now. And if I'm not seeing my burger and fries in less than 2 minutes, that ain't fast food. I might as well have gone to a sit-down restaurant, amen? Because we want it now. And I wonder, I'm curious today, how much we have stepped out in God, but because we've not seen fruit, we've stepped back, we've given up, and we've moved on. And all of a sudden, that fruit, that seed is waiting to be watered. Because Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God give the increase. And you see, every planting needs a watering, but every watering gets an increase. Am I speaking to somebody? And this is what happens. It's like CrossFit. It's like, you know, Jenny Craig. It's like all these little things. We do it for 5 minutes, but we're not seeing the fruit. Therefore, we give up. What does Scripture say? Don't put your hand to the plow and look back. Because if we can be a people who say, hey, guess what? This isn't a thought. This is a lifestyle. That I'm giving myself to establishing an altar of intercession. That I am going to pray, not because I need to see fruit, because I know God is sowing seeds. And I know my seeds are going to be watered. And I know that watering is going to cause God to give an increase. And guess what? It might not happen around me. It might not even happen through me, but it's going to happen somewhere. Am I speaking to somebody? Friends, how much are we giving up when God wants us to give in? And so I want us this morning, friends, to look at intercession. I'm going to teach us on really the role of the intercessor and the prophet, because I really believe there's gatekeepers the Lord is raising up right now. There's prophets and intercessors. And I believe there's been intercessors in the body of Christ who think they're prophets, and there have been prophets who think they're intercessors. And we've been robbed from the power and the authority that the Lord is wanting to release through this incredible gifting and giftings that the Lord has given us. Because I believe that both prophets and intercessors are gatekeepers. That they're people who stand at the gates. They're people who literally transact on the thresholds of the supernatural. And the Lord is looking for those. And friends, the same way as people say, well, Gary, I'm not a prophet. But Scripture says we can all prophesy. Well, Gary, I'm not an intercessor. Well, the Bible says we can all intercede. Amen? You see, when you're a prophet, you're one who reproduces and one who is governmental and one who trains and releases others. And this is the beautiful thing. It brings the body into alignment. And so, friends, I love the word intercession. You see, the word intercession, let's start there. The power of intercession. The word intercession in the Greek. How many people love Greek? I don't. I can't stand Greek food, but I love the Greek words. Amen? And so I love this Greek word for intercession. It's the word, yergos. This is in a Welsh language. Amen? This is going to be a Welsh slash Greek/Aussie/ I'm going to try and do as best as I can. Forgive me if there's any Greek people watching right now. The Greek word for intercession is entuxis. Can anyone give me a better one? Entuxis. And so we have this Greek word entuxis, which comes from the Strong's G1793. And I love this because it literally means to interview. It means an interview or to interview. It means supplication, pray, or to stand with a supplication before. To interview. Intercession is an inner view into the heart of God. To intercede is to interview. To intercede isn't to have your perspective, it's to have His perspective. To interview is to know the plans and the purposes of God. That's why I believe intercessors have this incredible ability not just to stand in the gap in burdens, but to be burdened with something that leads them to a place of getting a heavenly perspective on an earthly problem. And the moment that you get a king's perspective, you get a king's decree. And I think we've wasted our time for so long in intercession because we've been more like martyrs trying to be killed than we are being in a place of bringing change. I tell you, the best book I ever read was Benny Johnson's Happy Intercessor, because I met a lot of intercessors that ain't happy, amen? They walk around like they're constipated. It's like, what's wrong with you? And they're jumping on flags, they're burning flags, they're up this mountain, they're down that mountain, they're here, they're there and everywhere. And I tell you what is going on, because they've been sold an idea that they have to die when they don't realize one has already died. Amen. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, they try to think that they have to climb on an altar when all that God has asked them is to build one. How many altars have we climbed on when God, like Abraham, has held us back and said, hey, I've already provided. And all He's looking for is someone to interview Him. Someone to say, hey, God, what do you think about this? Hey, God, what are your thoughts about this? I'm telling you, when we can be a people who get an inner view of the King's chamber, we get an authority that begins to shift nations. Because God is inviting us to have an inner view and to interview Him. Not to give Him a perspective, for Him to give us a perspective. I'm telling you right now, there are businesses that God wants you to intercede for. What does that look like? God, what is your perspective on this business? God, can I sit with you? Your hand is not too short, it cannot save. God doesn't write in shorthand, amen? And so I want to encourage you, but can I sit with you and get your inner view? Can I interview you on this perspective? The future of your children, God wants you to intercede about. I love it. Andrew wrote, hey, Hebrews chapter 7. He makes intercession what? How does He make intercession? Because Jesus is constantly turning to the Father and interviewing the Father on His plans and purposes for the world. Father, what's your perspective? Father, what do you say? Father, what do you think? Jesus said, I do nothing unless I what? First, see my Father do it. You see, how many people have been for an interview? And it's all about what you've done, not what you can do. We don't interview God on what He can do. We interview God on what He's done. And what He's done reveals what He can do. Am I speaking to somebody? This is the invitation of stepping into being an intercessor. James 5, I love it says in James 5 that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. You see, it doesn't say that the effectual fervent, it says the fervent effectual. You see, I'm not fervent because I'm effectual. I'm effectual because I'm fervent. that there is a passion, there is a poise, there is a position in my heart that says, hey, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to be one who's influenced by, but I'm going to get a perspective of heaven because I've interviewed the Father on what needs to happen here. And what, guess what? It avails much. Am I speaking to somebody? I love what it says in 1 Timothy 2. And let's make this meeting legal and turn to some scripture. Amen. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. It says, I urge you then, first of all, everyone say first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. All people. First of all, let's encourage, let's petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving. I love this. That it doesn't say thanksgiving and then goes on. It gives the list, petitions. What do you do when you sign a petition? You go against the status quo of what everyone else wants. You sign the petition. Guess what? I'm putting my name to change. How many of us already put our name to change? I'm not talking about the no and yes vote, amen. I'm talking about societal change that comes through prayer and intercession. I'm putting my name to it. Petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. I'm telling you, when you get a heavenly perspective of a person, you can only but give thanks. That's why Paul writes to Timothy, guess what? When you interview the Father and you get his understanding and his perspective, it's going to lead you to thanksgiving. The thanksgiving be made for all people. But then he goes on, for kings and those in authority. How many people were challenged by this a few years ago? I certainly was in Victoria. That's not why I moved to Queensland, but I tell you, I was in Victoria when we had to pray for Premier Dan. All of a sudden, it's like, what? And we could be there, and I could say all things, and I could believe all things, and I could have an opinion about all things, but there's an invitation there for me to interview the Father. So while everyone had their opinion, I had an opportunity. You see, they might be coming against your workplace. They might be coming against your family. They might be coming against cultures and different people in this nation. I'm telling you, I was saying to Rory, I'm going to a nation next week that literally people have written off and gone, surely God could never move there. But I decided to get an interview. I decided to interview the king and say, hey, what's your perspective? Because what man has written down, God writes. Sorry, what man has written off, God writes down. And there's been a lot of cultures and a lot of societies that have been written off, but God writes them down. Because he's looking for a person who's willing to have an inner view of his heart and perspective for them people. Am I speaking to somebody? That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. What is the key to living this life? Is to get another perspective than you got right now. Because if you live outside of a perspective of heaven, friends, you're not going to live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness. You're going to live in anxiety. You're going to live with a level of angst that I don't want to live with. Amen? I tell you, it blew me away when I moved to the Sunshine Coast because all of a sudden I'm on the phone to my dad and I'm on the phone for 20 minutes and my dad says, hey, I know you've moved. I said, well, of course you do. I told you. He goes, no, I know you've moved because we've been on this phone for 20 minutes and you haven't beeped. You haven't called out the person in front of you. You haven't called out the person behind you. You haven't used earthly tongues once. It's like driving Miss Daisy. I'm like, Dad, what do you mean? He goes, well, in Melbourne, I'm on the phone to you and you're tooting this guy and you're telling that guy to get over and how this guy shouldn't have cut you off. But my gosh, it must be utopia in Queensland. I said, well, it is on the Sunshine Coast because they tell you to do 100 and everyone does 90. It's like driving Miss Daisy. But good Lord, when the rain comes, it's like Fast and the Furious. You see, when you get an interview, when your world has a perspective that is not of this earth, you begin to live in peaceful and quiet lives with all godliness and holiness. This is good, Paul says, and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, "And I pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and intercessions. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people." Paul says, "I pray at all times." We've heard it said of Smith Wigglesworth. "Smith, how often do you pray?" He said, "Well, I don't pray for more than 30 minutes, but I don't go 30 minutes without praying." It's a lifestyle. It's an intercession. And friends, prophets and intercessors both receive from the same vein of revelation. They're both connected to the same place of revelation. And I'm going to let you in. This is a session we do in our school, but I'll let you in on something I believe the Lord has marked prophets and intercessors for in these days. Because I really believe that there's those in the room right now that you've just been labeled prophets or you have a prophetic gifting, but you're actually an intercessor. And there's those who are intercessors here who God has actually called you to be prophetic. You see, the same vein or the same connection of revelation happens to them both. The same operating system, but the function is different. Kind of see it like an iPhone or an iPad. They both have the same operating system, but they display differently. You see, a prophet proclaims, but an intercessor prays. Yeah? You see, an intercessor faces God, but a prophet faces people. I like to say it like this. An intercessor will face God on behalf of people, but a prophet will face people on behalf of God. And there are times when God is requiring of us. And friends, this isn't hard and fast, because there's times the Lord will put a calling on your world to stand in intercession. That means you have to turn your back on the world. And that's why intercessors sometimes are awkward or feel like they're a bit aloof or they're a bit out there. Or, hey, have you seen so-and-so? They've been gone for weeks. Yeah, because they're being called to turn their back on people, but their face to God. And there are times in a prophet's world where all of a sudden they start running and they start feeling like all of a sudden they're far from God. And we get this up and down world of the prophet, because there is such in a place of facing the people on behalf of God that sometimes they feel in their world that they're turning their back on God. But we have to have a revelation that we're not turning our back on anyone. It's the posture and the position that God has placed us there. And this is the beautiful thing, is intercessors speak to God on behalf of people, but a prophet will speak to people on behalf of God. And it's this beautiful rhythm that happens, and that's why these gatekeepers are needed in the body of Christ. I tell you, we need people to get an inner view of what the Lord is doing. You see, vindication and victory. You will always see a prophet will always be vindicated by his words, but an intercessor will never be vindicated by their prayers. There are people in this room who have prayed and stood and averted things in the spirit, and no one will ever know about it. There are intercessors in my world that have stood, got an interview of the king, and stood in the gap and brought the heavenly perspective and shifted things in my world that I would never know about, but they did. Because a prophet can get up and prophesy, and the fruit of that prophecy can easily be seen in a person's world. But friends, when an intercessor prays, the fruit is seen, but the seed is hidden. Am I speaking to somebody? And so the life of an intercessor can be lonely. The life of a prophet can be lonely. But God is looking for intercessors. And you might be watching today. You might be in the sound of my voice. That God is looking for the body of Christ to rise up in intercession. To get an interview. To interview the king about the plans, purposes, and promises of nations. So that we can begin to pray effectively and with truth instead of opinion. With truth instead of guessing. You see, I want to encourage you, friends, when you know who you are in Christ, your prayers don't end with please, they start with thank you. And we recognize that we can look at a nation and we can say, that nation, Father, what is your view on that nation? Because today I'm standing and I'm interviewing the king. What did Esther do? She came before the king and she asked questions. I wonder if there's people in this room today and in the sound of my voice who are willing to come before a king to ask his view, to find out his perspective. Because when we do, nations begin to change. I'd love the team to come back if they can. Wow. I feel like there's an activation the Lord wants to do here this morning. That there are those that have, you've been burdened, but you've been burdened in such an ungodly way. And instead of it being a blessing, it's almost destroyed you. And then there's those amongst us, you just don't know what's happening. It's like, why do I get such a burden? But I've just been, it's all I've known is to do this. All I've known is to climb on an altar instead of build an altar. All I've known is to be a martyr instead of be on mission. All I've known is to be one who has to suffer instead of realizing the sacrifice has already been made. Friends, I want to tell you right now, following Christ is a high cost. It's a high cost. And there are situations and circumstances that they're going to be a sacrifice to you. But I'll tell you, the ultimate cost has already been paid. And sometimes our fear is because we believe something that is not scriptural. It's just traditional. And the Bible says the traditions of man have made God's word of no effect. Well, I want to ask this question this morning. If the traditions of man have made God's word of no effect, what if the traditions of God can make my words effective? What are the traditions of God? Well, guess what? Table of the Lord. I believe there's five in the New Testament. We did a series when I pastored church. I've never seen God do so much through a local church as when we laid these five almost like stones. The gospel of grace, baptism, prayer, table of the Lord, and offering. Them five things, I believe, are the five stones that God built the early church on. The gospel of grace, baptism, table of the Lord, prayer, and offering. When we get the right perspective, why don't we talk about offering? Because, friends, we've been given the wisdom of man instead of being shown the power of God. I challenge you. Do you do this every week? Every week. What would it look like to have a baptism tank here every week? Just saying. See, we prepare a table and he comes. If we bring the pool, they come. You see, we do things in church. Friends, you're my heart. I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to you know my heart, amen? You know my heart. But I fear sometimes that we do things because of things instead of doing things in spite of things. What does that mean, Gary? Well, friends, what does it look like for us to open a baptism tank and have no one on the baptism sheet? But all of a sudden, people start getting saved because we've opened the waters. If we can open a table, we can open the waters. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, this is what it, you know, the field of dreams. If you build it, they'll come. It takes Hollywood to tell us the kingdom. Am I speaking to somebody? I love what James Earl Jones says to Kevin Costner. They're coming, Ray. They're coming. It's peace they lack, or money they have, but peace they lack. But they're coming. Rivers, they're coming. They're coming. They're coming. But what is the inner view of the king? Are we having an inner view of the king, or are we having an inner view of culture? Oh, well, church is declining after COVID. I want to tell you right now, no church is declining. Amen? God is building his kingdom, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Am I speaking to somebody? But we adjust. We adjust. And we think God has called us to be chiropractors when he's called us to be courageous. God ain't called us to adjust. He's called us to be courageous. And friends, we could be like the servant of Elijah. I've been 6 times, Elijah. There's nothing there. He goes, go again. And when he did, there was a cloud the size of a man's fist. Jesus, there's nothing. Go again. Jesus, there's nothing. Go again. Friends, I want to encourage you. What is God's inner view? What is his inner view of Rivers Church? What is his inner view of Brisbane? What is his inner view of Queensland, Australia, the nations, and the nations of the world? What am I speaking to somebody? Let's bring it right back down. What is God's inner view of your family? What's God's inner view of your finances? What's God's inner view of your hopes and dreams? Because friends, you can have someone else's view or you can have his view. And the last time I checked, when you get a view of the king, you get kingdom. Amen? When you get a view of a king, it gets royal. When you get a view of a king, that he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, that we live differently, that we speak differently, we pray differently because we've got a king's perspective. And all he's looking for when it comes to intercession is not people who are going to climb on an altar, but people who will build an altar and get his view and begin to establish it. Friends, the Greeks did it. That's why Paul could speak about an unknown God, because all of a sudden, we'll just build this thing and we'll call it an unknown God. How about we give God's promises, power, and presence a name? That we are building an altar right now, that a nation can be saved in a day. A nation can be established in a day because of what God is doing in and through our lives. Am I speaking to someone? Let's all stand in this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can I get the house lights right up? If they can. Or lights on. I'd love to see people. Father, thank you for your presence. Guys, I want to pray for you right now. If you've been in that place of feeling torn, if you've been in that place of feeling like, oh my gosh, Gary, everything you're saying right now is just resonating with me. I know I've been called to intercession. I know God's given me this call on my life, but I've been told all my life I'm a prophet. Or maybe you're here today and you've just been told all your life you're prophetic, but you realize that there's language that you've received today that's caused you to be set free. Friend, if that's you, if you've been called to intercession, I want you to come to my right. I want to pray for you right now. Just come to my right. If you've been called to that place of intercession, if you know there's something burning on your heart, just come. I believe there's something God wants to do in your heart right now. And friend, if you're here today and you feel like you've just been locked up in the prophetic, it's like, God, it's something locking me. I don't know what it is, but Gary, you give language today that I want to step back into that place of hearing your voice, of getting an inner view. Guys, if that's you, I just want you to come to my left right now. Just come. If you call to the prophetic, just come to my left. If you feel you call to both, then stick in the middle. Amen? Intercessors to the left of me, prophets to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle. But if that's you today, just come. But if you feel like you're in the booth, just stick in this middle part here right now. Just come right forward so people can find room. There's a call here today for nations. There's a call here today for us to get an inner view. Just come. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you now. Father, your word says you'll know the truth and the truth. So Lord, I thank you right now for truth that sets free. And so Lord, we take off right now the shackles of man's wisdom. Father, we take off the shackles. Friends, if you're watching online right now, I want to pray. Maybe put it in the chat or whatever you're watching through. I want you to agree right now as you stand in that place of being released to realize the Lord has called you to have an inner view, a king's perspective, a kingdom mandate that is not contaminated by the wisdom of man or the tradition of man, but is released, empowered, and equipped by the power of God. If that's you right now, I pray that God would meet you where you're at, unlock, empower, and set you apart for such a time as this. Jesus. Father, we thank you right now. Father, I pray for those called to the prophetic. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would release a grace upon their hearts. Lord, I thank you that the gift of prophecy is a gift of listening more than it is of speaking. So, Lord, I bless their ears and I bless their hearts to receive, Lord, to hear, to receive. Lord, to face people on behalf of you, to hear your plans and your purposes. Guys, I love that the prophets see the plans of God and intercessors thwart the plans of the enemy. Lord, I bless those with a prophetic grace right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, those who are intercessors, Father, I pray right now that, Lord, you would attune their ears, attune their hearts. Father, give them hearts and hands to establish altars that bring an inner view of the kingdom, that bring the inner view of the King. That, Lord, your perspective, Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would grace them with an audience of the King. Father, I bless them with the scepters of the Lord. That, Lord, every time a situation and circumstance, Lord, the scepter of the Lord, Father, would be extended to their hearts and they would know the heart of the King. They would know the thoughts of the King. Lord, that they would see a Jeremiah 29:11 encounter upon nations, upon communities, upon hearts, upon homes. That they know the thoughts that God has, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give a future and a hope. And Father, right now I pray for those who feel a grace, or maybe are in a place, Lord, of not knowing. Lord, I pray right now that, Lord, you would just bring such clarity and courage. Lord, even a grace for seasons upon their life, of seasons of facing you on behalf of people, or them seasons where they have to face people on behalf of you. Father, right now I pray for your grace to come in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for that call upon their lives right now. Lord, I thank you for that call upon their lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.